From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo and U.S. Senator Schumer urged the state's congressional delegation to oppose the federal tax plan that would take away state and local tax deductions in New York. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the financial impact on New York should the tax plan pass, and we'll take a look at Proposition 3 on this November's ballot. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. The state's governor and senior senator teamed up to urge New York's congressional delegation this week to oppose a provision in the federal tax overhaul plan that they say could be harmful to the state's taxpayers and New York's economy. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Speaking outside a suburban home in Albany County, Senator Chuck Schumer and Governor Andrew Cuomo called the federal plan to get rid of the state and local tax deductions double taxation. Schumer says middle-class New Yorkers will pay more money in taxes each year if the proposal is approved.
They'd see an average tax increase of $1,960. That's a lot of money out of the pockets of middle-class and upper-middle-class New Yorkers.
Part of the reason that New Yorkers would pay more is because the state has one of the highest property tax rates in the nation. Schumer and Cuomo are calling on the state's congressional delegation to vote as a block to oppose the proposal. Schumer says if New York's delegation joins with congressional members from two other key states, California and New Jersey, where property taxes are also relatively high, then they have enough votes to defeat the plan.
If every member of the New York delegation, Democrat and Republican, would say they're not voting for any bill that cuts state and local deductibility, that bill would fail.
The two leading Democratic politicians concede that it might be hard for some of the state's Republican Congress members to stand up to the GOP House leadership, but they say it's necessary in order to protect the state. Cuomo says it's not about party loyalty, but about representing their constituents.
They want to play red-blue games. Red-blue, the color here is green. And red Republicans are going to pay more green, and Democrats are going to pay more green. So it's not about red and blue, this discussion. It's about green.
Cuomo and Schumer say they are also against some compromise proposals that have surfaced in Congress. One would allow homeowners to choose whether to deduct their state and local taxes or their mortgage taxes from their federal income tax forms. Schumer says that's not a good choice.
That's like saying to an average middle-class New Yorker, you want me to chop off your left hand or your right hand? You choose.
Another proposal would prevent only the wealthiest taxpayers from taking the state and local tax deduction. Cuomo says that plan could cause the richest New Yorkers to leave the state and also harm New York's economy. He says that could have even bigger repercussions.
And by the way, New York and California happen to be the economic engines of this country. You slow down the economy in New York, you slow down the economy in California, you slow down the economy in the United States of America.
And another proposal would strictly limit the amount of money that workers could contribute to their tax-deferred 401k retirement plans, from the current maximum of $18,000 a year to as low as $2,400 a year. President Donald Trump tweeted that he is against that plan, but Senator Schumer says that does not mean that proposal is dead. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, our Karen DeWitt reporting about the governor and Senator Schumer teaming up this week, traveling upstate and going after the Republican Congress people who are in line with the potential for these tax deductions going away. And they were up blasting the administration, that's the Trump administration, and those who would support it. Now, one of them, John Faso, a Republican, says he is not in favor of these deductions going away, and others have expressed the same thing.
Well, look, if you come from Blue State, New York, and you're a congressman, and you are in a district which is just right down the middle. You know, right now, the various political reports give Faso a good chance of surviving. They're saying basically is leaning his way. But I think he misplayed the question on health care and said he was for that bill that the president wanted. And it got him a lot of animus, and it fired up the Democratic base. This is one which is a no-brainer. You can't be for this. How can you be for this? It's going to break the state. And he's not in favor of it. That's the only thing he can say. Same thing for the other Republicans who are in danger of losing their seats. You know that the president, you know that the governor is after them. He's identified them. He says he wants them out of there. It's going to be a tough year for Republicans who are going to have to either align with the president or not.
When it comes to the budget, the idea of losing local and state tax deductions, especially to those blue states in the country, including New York, you spoke to State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, who was out with a fresh report that $72 billion is what New York would suffer if these plans go through.
That's right. It will be terrible. So it puts tremendous pressure on the governors of these states, including Governor Andrew Cuomo. He has to decide whether to call a special session. And if he calls a special session and brings everybody back, they have to figure out where all of that money would come from. I mean, that's a good deal of our budget in New York State and a good deal of our budget here in Massachusetts, where I live. So then everybody's going to have to tighten their belts. They're going to have to figure out where this money is going to come from. And that is not an easy fix, that's for sure. So when the president of the United States goes after these blue states, one wonders if it's just a matter of animus or whether or not they have some kind of a rational plan. So far, I don't see it because, you know, he tried to take health care away from a lot of Americans. This is one way in which he can do this through the budget. Medicaid will suffer for those of us who are over 65. Medicare will be a terror. Deductions, whether he's just put those on the table as bargaining chips, I don't know. And the other thing, David, is it's unclear whether the White House and the Congress are on the same page. For example, the 401k plans, first we heard that they were going to limit how much you could put into your, basically, your retirement account. Then we heard from the president, no, that's not going to happen. Now we're hearing from the House and other places, yeah, it may happen. So we don't know what the negotiations between the White House and the Republican Congress are going to be.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan. Well, let's stick with the controller for a second, Alan. He also talked about, you asked him about, the stock market. When it does well, New York does good, and by that, he looks good, and we're all hearing about the potential for a correction at some point.
Well, there's going to be a correction at some point, and I must say I was having fun with Tom DiNapoli, who's a man I really like. And I said to him, so should I take my money out of the market or not? And he laughed, and he said, well, you know, what do I know about that? But of course, he does know about that, and he is obviously having to think the same thing we Americans are thinking right now. It's going up, so we don't want to take it out. But on the other hand, we know inevitably there will be a correction. He's a hero when it goes up because, of course, the pension funds in New York, which are, he makes a point of, are extremely well-funded compared to other states. You can pay everything in if the market keeps going up. Then you're a hero. But if it goes down, you're a goat. That's one of the fates of controllers.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. There is a concerted effort by a wide range of interests to get New York voters to approve Proposition 3 on the November ballot. It would create a land bank to allow communities in the Adirondack and Catskill Forest Preserve to accomplish small projects without the need to amend the state constitution. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley explains.
Article 14 of the New York Constitution includes the Forever Wild Clause, protecting the Adirondack and Catskill Forest Preserve. For communities that want to upgrade utilities, roads, and other critical infrastructure that abut the Forever Wild lands, a constitutional amendment has been required. For example, in 1995, a constitutional amendment was passed to allow the town of Keene to expand its cemetery. Proposition 3 is supported by environmental, municipal, recreational, and business groups across the state. It asks voters to approve a public health and safety land account. If approved, it would amend Article 14, the Forever Wild Clause, to create a land bank to allow local communities in the forest preserve areas of the Adirondacks and Catskills to complete small municipal projects without needing amendments. At a recent meeting, New York State Senator Betty Little asked local business people to support the measure.
If you needed to drill a well, or you needed to actually take a curve out of a road, and you needed half an acre, 2 acres, you could get it from the land bank. So you would not have to go for a constitutional amendment for each and everything that we have done in the past. And we have the total support of the environmental community.
Proposition 3 is on the back of the ballot, and Plattsburgh North Country Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Gary Douglas said a major concern is that voters will ignore it or associate it with the Constitutional Convention question.
Whether there's going to be a state constitutional convention is the first ballot measure on that back of the ballot. And we know that's controversial. There's some concern that people don't know what the other couple of things on there are may vote no down the line without understanding what they're voting no against. So there's a Proposition 3 that is good news, according to everybody, for the Adirondack region.
Adirondack Park Local Government Review Board Executive Director Fred Monroe says the measure includes safeguards to continue to protect the forest preserve.
This proposal would amend the procedure to allow the legislature to approve these projects, you know, and only in conditions where there's no other alternative. It would have to be demonstrated to the state. So it would just be a streamlined procedure and avoid the very wasteful, time-consuming process and cost of a constitutional amendment for each individual small-scale project.
Catskill Center for Conservation and Development Executive Director Jeff Centerman hopes to see utility upgrades and enhanced broadband opportunities if the measure passes.
There are just necessary projects that many communities come up against here in the Catskills and in the Adirondacks, where there is an overriding public need, whether it's a road fix or a bridge repair, or if a water system is failing and there's improvements that need to be made or fixes that need to happen. And we see this as a win-win. You know, we're adding land to the forest preserve in the amount of 250 acres. If there are larger projects, those will not be projects that would be able to go through the land bank.
Adirondack Association of Towns and Villages President Brian Towers says part of the challenge is getting voters to comprehend the size of the Adirondack and Catskill Forest Preserve.
I think the real challenge for us is two-sided, in that there is a huge effort that wants you to just vote no across the board. The other challenge is those that live in the, I'm going to call it even the inner city, where we did some survey work, and the responses you get from some people is, well, the animals need to live somewhere too. You know, they don't understand how vast the Catskill and the Adirondack parks are. And I don't know how you get past that.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
The CEO of Legoland's parent company was in Orange County this week to announce that the theme park will open in 2020 in Goshen. And New York's economic development czar says the state will contribute millions of dollars more to the project. We get an update from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
Nick Varney is CEO of Merlin Entertainments.
It's with particular excitement and pride that we're here today to announce the commencement of Legoland New York here in Goshen.
It will be the first Legoland in the Northeast and third in the U.S., joining others in Florida and California. Again, Varney.
Legoland New York will be Merlin's biggest ever single investment, as I said, at $350 million. quite a lot of money by any standards. And what it's a reflection of is our confidence in this location, which we think is perfect. It lies right at the heart of LEGO's biggest market anywhere in the world.
The announcement in Goshen came less than 1 week after the town planning board approved the site plan for Legoland, a proposal to build on 150 acres of a 522-acre site. Empire State Development Commissioner Howard Zemsky says the state is taking the next step in turning the Hudson Valley into a premier tourist destination.
And the state is adding $18 million to its commitment for this project, bringing it up to $25 million.
Of the $18 million, Zemsky says $10 million will go to support road infrastructure improvements and traffic mitigation measures on Route 17. Traffic has been a major concern in the community. The money will go toward relocating and reconstructing the Exit 125 interchange on Route 17, constructing a new bridge over Route 17, and other improvements. Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse has been supportive of the project throughout.
We want to make Orange County a place that people want to bring their families to, and what better thing than a park dedicated to 2 to 12-year-old kids. So it's an exciting day. It's a big milestone, a major step for this project moving forward. And I think to have the CEO of the company and the CEO of the state's economic development team here shows that this is a real thing.
Again, the state's Zemsky.
Really, there are not that many $350 million private sector investments. Though, you know, that's a big number. And when you talk about jobs, 1,300, you know, 500 full-time, 300 part-time, 500 seasonal, you know, that's a big number. So I travel all over the state, do a lot of economic development announcements. Not that often are we talking about several hundreds of millions of dollars of investment and jobs over 1,000. So it's, you know, great. It's very significant.
Opponents say Legoland will destroy Goshen's character and negatively impact the environment and quality of life, not to mention traffic. They have vowed to continue fighting the project. New Hampton resident Christina Harnett says traffic was a major concern, but believes it's been addressed. She was on hand for the announcement with her 9-year-old son.
We're thrilled that Legoland is part of New York now. We came to join in the celebration. It's awesome.
Asked whether there is anything to stand in the project's way, Varney replies,
I don't believe so. I think we are going through all of the right processes. We've been taking all the right advice and working with all the authorities. So as far as we're concerned, you know, we're sort of ticking the boxes as we go and believe that we will be on track to open the park in 2020.
The theme park with a 250-room Legoland hotel is scheduled to be open from April 1st to November 1st. The hotel would be open year-round. Legoland New York anticipates generating $283 million in sales tax and hotel occupancy tax for Orange County over 30 years. The town of Goshen would receive about $71 million in revenue from the host community fee. Merlin plans educational programs and benefits as well.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation recently released a national survey of children's health that shows almost half of American kids experience traumatic experiences. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas.
The study was produced by CAMI, the Child and Adolescent Health Measurement Initiative. Martha Davis is Senior Program Officer at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. She is disturbed by the compendium in the 2016 edition of the National Survey of Children's Health and an analysis conducted by CAMI.
What it shows shows is a state-by-state breakdown of how many kids have experienced ACEs. Now, ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, can be events like living with someone who is depressed or mentally ill, a parent who abuses drugs or alcohol, divorce, the death of a parent, and witnessing violence in the home or neighborhood.
National data shows in the age range of birth to 17 years old, 46.3% of kids have had one or more ACE, 21.7% have endured two or more, and 35% of children from birth to age five have had one or more. Davis says there's been a great increase in the science and research about the impact of adversity on children.
It impacts physical development, brain development, and has consequences for lifelong health and well-being.
In New York, 45.3% of kids in the birth to 17-year age range have had one or more ACE, 15% have had two or more, that's lower than the national average, and 38.7% of children from birth to age five have had one or more, which is higher than the national average. Davis says awareness training in schools is a great place to begin. Bill Wolf is executive director of Albany's LaSalle School.
I think the most influential thing that's happened to us is how it's guided our actual work. We've been able to shift and transform the culture of how we approach children, especially from something that's, why don't you comply with the rules kind of approach with young people to let us all try to understand the things that have happened to you and how those contribute to what's happening in your life today.
Davis hopes the latest findings will further raise awareness so ACEs can be avoided.
So policies like paid family leave, home visiting, there's lots of good evidence that shows that home visiting can really improve outcomes and help prevent a lot of these difficulties from the beginning. We want to make sure that children and young people are in high-quality places of learning, so access to high-quality childcare, early education, great schools, investing in that. We know that the importance of healthcare, access to good healthcare, makes a big difference. And then, of course, there's a set of policies that we are thinking a lot about, which is how can we help create healthy communities? So focusing on safe, affordable housing, access to healthy foods, community violence prevention.
Wolf agrees the dissemination of information is a key remedy.
We have so many professionals that interact with kids, or so many of the sectors that interact with kids, from teachers to healthcare professionals to police to others, that have no real knowledge of this and its longer-term implications. So we're seeing a very, very rapid and very rich appetite to learn this. Last year, we had our fourth annual symposium, and we filled a 1,000-seat theater with multidiscipline folks to come in for an entire day and hear presentations about this and information about how it applies. And most recently, through the efforts of our mayor and chief of police, my staff has been invited in to do training for the entire Albany Police Department, all of their sworn officers who are on the street. That's over 325 officers who've all received kind of an ACEs 101, which many of them really experienced, was extremely helpful to them.
There's a copy of Cammie's ACEs brief and more at WAMC.org. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. That's for program number 1743. Or just listen to our podcast on the web at WAMC.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.